场。
What up, what up, what up? Hey!
Hey, everybody out there.
Oh, I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And this is Ghostly Talk.
And that was the show. I hope you liked it.
No, good night. Thank you. Good night.
I am not prepared.
You don't look good.
I am not prepared at all.
No, I came in today and Doug was kind of like on the couch going, oh, man. And I'm like, you're not, okay.
I'm going on a trip.
Yeah.
I'm going down to haunted Atlanta. Well, I just...
Ghostly Talk language, everything is haunted.
Yes.
The basement we broadcast from is haunted.
The haunted basement studio.
My car. Yeah. It's haunted.
Haunted car.
Which, you know what?
I have a haunted laptop.
I'm mad right now. Because you know where I just moved? We have two dogs.
Okay.
And, okay, I got Jim and Drake I live with, right?
They're the dogs?
No.
Dog.
No, those are the guys. Those are the people.
Oh.
We got Midnight and Bear. Those are the dogs.
All okay. All right.
I just found this out today, so I'm real happy right now. Big house. I have all kinds of fun. All kinds of cool stuff going on. Drake, I'm talking to him today, though, right? Jim owns the house, right?
Okay.
Jim, of course, being the owner, he has his Mustang and he has his Explorer. Mm-hmm. He gets the garage space. We have to park outside. But we both get to park in the backyard, so it's cool, right?
That's not bad.
Drake's like, you know, I'm really glad you're living here now. I'm like, well, why? He's like, well, you see, now, you know, when I just lived here, Barry used to piss all over my dog, my truck tires.
Oh, no.
But now he don't go near my truck. He pisses all over your car now. So I get out there today and I look at my tires and they're like,
street.
Sopping wet.
Yeah,
I'm like,
you went from ground beef to
ground beef and mustard and horseradish
to
dog urine,
dog stuff. Yeah.
So have I really improved my life at all? Man.
Well,
so that sums up my week right there.
The grass is not always greener on the other side of the fence.
Obviously not. Well, I'm gonna figure something out. I got a plan.
Yeah.
You'll hear about it in the coming weeks.
Uh-oh.
About the saga of Scott versus Bear.
Well, there is some kind of stuff, I'm sure. If you listen on regular radio, there's the pet show.
On
non-internet
radio. There's got to be something I can put in the tires to, like, scare them away.
Yeah, there's some kind of chemicals and things. I'm sure you could do it. Or you could get invisible fence.
Oh, yeah, I could just put it right around my car.
Or put it around the dog.
All right.
Never go anywhere.
I don't know. Where'd that come from?
I don't know, but it's definitely not ghostly.
No.
Just haunted Atlanta. Yes, I'm going down to haunted Atlanta. I don't have anything special planned. So
you're just going
to
chill out, which that's good.
Yeah, I bought three books. So, and anyway, I have to say first, mm-hmm. before we get into our topic, which our topic is Thomas Edison.
We're going to be talking about Thomas Edison tonight.
And, yeah, he's the guy who invented things, you know.
He invented everything.
Things. Yeah, pretty much a lot. Well,
he actually had along with the big ones, he actually had 1,093 patents.
So, yeah, he was a busy, busy, busy person, just like I am, only I'm not inventing stuff, I'm just running around.
He obviously invented the light bulb, the phonograph, the typewriter, the electric motor. And a stock ticker.
And what he wanted to invent, but did not get time to, of course, was...
It was a communication device. Yeah, communication device.
To communicate from here to the other realm.
Yeah, and we're going to get into it.
The ghostly world.
There's some pretty cool information on the internet. We'll get more into it in a little while.
Yes, but first, I have got to talk about Afterlife. I went last night and saw the screening of Afterlife.
I couldn't go.
You couldn't go because you were playing in your band out in Ypsilanti.
Yeah.
You know, so and that's important because your albums are CD. Sorry, I keep saying albums. Yeah,
I want vinyl, man.
But
vinyl rocks.
But yeah, your CD's coming out, so you have to do all that promo work. But
yep.
But definitely, I did go and see that Afterlife and. It rocked.
Really?
It was incredible. It's like, it's sitting on the edge of your seat, holding your breath in anticipation of the next scene kind of movie.
Yeah.
It's just awesome. It's so well done. Tom Smith of Paper
Target. Yeah, those of you who don't know, Afterlife is a film that was made by Tom Smith, one of our associates,
who runs
Paper Target Productions.
Yeah, Paper Target, blah, blah, blah. How about this? Paper Target Moving Pictures.
Okay.
Production
sounds more important, Tom.
PaperTarget.net.
Yeah. Go to that website. Very cool stuff. Amazing. What an artist.
You can
what
order
an artist.
I bought two copies.
I gotta buy one.
It, I mean...
Wait, what? I'm still steaming about that, though.
Why? Because you were the voice of...
Well,
it's
you
a
were,
documentary.
We both worked on it.
We both worked on
you
it.
You worked harder than I did. You were the coach.
It turns out I was pretty much the star, too. We're watching it, and I've been, like, pretty much almost every scene.
Oh, man.
I don't know how I worked that. You know, media whore. That's me. And
media harlot.
Okay.
I go for the PC.
Well, yeah. Well, that also isn't that one card, the harlot card in the tarot deck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's me.
I was over the last year. I think both of us have just completely turned into media harlots. I mean, I'm in every single thing. Like, it's ridiculous.
Well, you were on the radio first. You were on that one that evening show with. Oh, what was it? I taped it. You and your band.
Oh, 97.1, Static Radio. 97.1,
yeah. Static Radio. And I was extremely jealous.
Well, what we have to do, too, we didn't get to it this week.
Yeah.
We both had a busy week.
Yeah,
for Halloween.
Did.
You were on 95.5.
I was on 95.5 Mojo in the Morning with Will.
With
of,
Will, yeah. Michigan Ghostbusters.
Michigan Ghostbusters.
And I happened to fall into Kramer and Twitch's show.
Yeah, I don't know
on
how
Thursday
you
night. Well, it was right after we finished those last few tracks for Afterlife, the movie.
Yeah. You left, because we did that at my work.
Yeah, and I just hopped in the car.
You hopped in the car, and you must have got right on your phone.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, no, I heard the radio, and they're like, we got a live psychic in right now. So I'm like, oh, my God, I'm just going to try to call.
Yeah.
And I got right through.
Oh, my gosh.
Now,
do you know the odds against getting right through to a live psychic?
Well, I waited 35 minutes to get on the phone, though.
Well, yeah, you have to wait for the...
I mean, to get on the radio.
Yeah.
But what was really cool is that 35 minutes allowed me to get myself home, get out of the car, get inside the house, find a blank tape, and record it. So what we're going to probably try to do, like, in the next week or two, is I know you're going to try to get that interview off of 95.5.
We're going to try. I don't know if they even have it anymore, but...
Yeah, well, they
I know
spent,
Will
they
was
spent all that stuff to death, so they should have a copy of it.
Well, he
somewhere.
Was going to dash off an email to them and see if they got it.
Yeah.
But I didn't tape it.
I haven't heard it yet.
I got to talk. Fortunately, we did. I don't know if anybody actually downloaded our you know, amazing two-show...
The epic Halloween special.
Yeah, the epic Halloween special. But it's a good thing we did that, because one of the things I talked about was the 3 days of Samhain.
Uh-huh.
You know, how it's a 3-day festival, and it's the time when the veil between the worlds is the thinnest.
Yeah.
And that really, I think, added to the general public knowledge of Halloween, because everyone thinks Halloween is, you know, evil and devil worship.
Yeah.
It actually had nothing to do
That's
with
something
that.
Something I'd like to see kind of... Over the years, you can see that, I mean, like, let's compare right now to, like, the 50s.
Yeah.
Halloween was looked at a lot different, and people are more open to it now.
Yeah.
And it's a fun time of year.
I'm glad it's a fun time of year.
I mean, I love Halloween. We both talked about this on and off the air about home. Just the time of the smell in the air. I mean, I saw all the leaves down yesterday.
Did you put your clothes on inside out?
You know what, man? Thursday night was a mess.
I didn't do it either.
I wanted to so bad, but by the time I left your place, I was sitting on the radio talking, you know, making a fool of myself on Kramer and Twitch. And then by the time I was finished with that, it was like 10 o'clock. I had to go down and check the email, do the correspondence thing, and then come upstairs and go, geez, I'm really tired. And I'm in
bed.
Well,
by the time I got on the internet, which was exactly 12:02 a.m., it was no longer Halloween.
Yeah.
You were supposed to have met the witch at midnight. So
next year, watch out.
Yeah, I was unable to do the clothes on backwards kind of thing, and I feel really bad about it.
I wanted to so bad. And I told the guys in the band about that, too, and I got kicked out of the rehearsal room.
Oh, you did?
They're like, you're an idiot. Leave.
I want to try it.
Yeah,
I
really
try
do.
It next year.
Next year, 2003, Ghostly Talk coming at you. Watch out.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
It's over. We're going to meet that witch.
We're going to meet her. So, then we're out of things? No.
No, we're done.
I have to tell you, yeah. Afterlife rocks. You are the voice of Afterlife. Because you...
That sounds so cool.
You did the narration for it. And it came out perfect. I mean, it's really nail-biting, as you see. And you know what? The entire time, because you know how cold it is out here in Michigan right now.
Yeah.
It's like we're in a big freezer here in Michigan. And... So what happens is we've got, you know, like, everyone wants to go out ghost hunting and that kind of thing. You can't. I mean, well, you can for a little while, but you freeze. So what happens is I was watching Afterlife thinking, oh man, I want to be out there. I want to be doing this stuff.
Yeah.
This is awesome because Tom did such a fantastic job.
That's what we talked about with the movie, though. Is it was a great promotional tool for people that may just be getting into the art of ghost hunting.
Yes. Art and science of ghost hunting.
It's a good thing because, I mean, you watch the video, and I haven't seen it yet, mind you, but I know what it's about, though. And it's like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing out here. I'm watching these real people out there ghost hunting and seeing what they're doing. And I know, didn't Tom actually edit the scene when we were at Morrow Road? And we were testing the legend of Morrow Road.
That was one of the better scenes in the show. Well, they're all good scenes.
I know Tom. The look on your face was priceless.
That
Scott.
Was so entertaining because he's like, watch Scott, watch Scott's face, and you give this blank like stare kind of thing to Tom, and then of course they're talking at this time to this ghost light that's not in your back seat, and the way you turn, like you're expecting to see it was. Awesome. That's the scene. If you buy Afterlife just for that scene, because that scene is totally
awesome. PaperTarget.net, you can order it right off the website.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. Check it out. Definitely check it out. Tom did a great job. I know he did.
Yeah, and we're not pimping the show. I mean,
we're totally pimping the show.
We're pimping it, but it's like a totally awesome movie.
Watch the trailers. The trailers alone will show you the quality.
Yeah.
The quality of the work that Tom does anyways. Just on his other projects he does. And, I mean, when we saw the trailers, we were like, you know, I'm like, well, he makes movies. Well, I can make a movie. Here's my video camera. But, no, Tom goes out there and he makes movies.
Yeah.
He makes movies.
He's an independent movie maker, and he really does.
Brilliant work.
This is awesome stuff.
I can't wait to see it. I personally cannot wait to see it. So I really want to hear how much of an idiot I sound like.
You don't. It's totally awesome. And people who don't know you from Ghostly Talk, people who don't know you from MGB, people who don't know you from DDPI, people who don't know you from My Favorite Plaid Straitjacket, they'll sit there, they'll listen to this thing, and they'll say, you know, that they got some professional to do it. I mean, it was just totally awesome.
And then meet the voice, and you'd be like, this kid could not be doing this stuff.
But it was a great movie. It was well worth my
those
time
were some grueling hours, man. Those were some grueling hours we put into that, because, I mean, Tom had his vision, and we're like, the original setup we did, you guys will love this, because the original thing, it's like, we get the script, and I'm like, okay, Doug, you know, you want to help me with this? Oh, yeah, cool. So we sit down, and I'm like, okay, this is a documentary about ghost hunting. So I am going to be the most dramatic-sounding person possible, and I'm going to sound as, you know, creepy as possible. I'm running my voice through processor after processor, trying to make myself sound really like, not like a demon or something like that, but like real just like thick and like, ghost hunt. I think that ghost
or something. Ghost, yeah. You know?
And we sent him over to Tom, and he's like, no, 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 no! We're like, what? And so we tried, we went back and forth for a week.
Oh, we did.
We finally hit it, apparently, I hope.
He wanted conversational. It came out perfect.
Yeah, I mean, but we put time
Tom in has that. Great vision. I don't know if we matched exactly what he wanted, but it was, I think it was perfect.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great experience for both of us, I think. I mean, Doug here, I mean, he's producing the next MFPS album. This guy, he's sitting here just, you suck, do it again. And I'm like, that was it. No, you suck, do it again. I'm
no,
like,
no,
no,
there was no space between two words.
No, but you don't realize, you know, we talk, you know, I love listening to talking books. And you're just listening to some guy read a book. But
those have
my
to be God, pure torture
my
to produce.
God, to,
oh,
read
yeah.
a, to read a novel and like record a novel like that. I mean, we had, eight, 9 pages of material to go through.
But to do a 300-page book, you couldn't do it.
Utter hell. I know it would
they
be.
They couldn't pay me enough to produce that.
Yeah. We got to thank Tom, though.
Yeah.
He gave
Tom,
for the opportunity.
You know, and after we saw the movie, we applauded him, so I applaud you again.
Yes. I haven't seen it yet, but I know it's going to be great. I know. I mean, everybody I've talked to is like, it's amazing.
You can watch my copy next week before
I can't wait.
Talk.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna be raving
It should come in the mail sometime this week, I hope.
Excellent, yeah. Thanks again, Tom.
Awesome. Awesome work.
This show's for you, man.
Yeah. I wish I was more prepared.
We'll be fine.
Alright, yeah.
This is
okay,
this is an educational show.
Stuff, huh?
Ghosts, yeah.
We're gonna talk about that. I know. Well, okay, you guys. Everyone has got to realize. Okay, we just got through with what 2 weeks of pure torture. Oh, Scott right. was even. Scott was so stressed to the point where his left eye was twitching.
Oh my God.
Maniacally, and I wasn't twitching myself, but I was definitely. Stressed.
Yeah, we were both. Like last week, especially. I'm like, we gotta do 2 hours, man. What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do?
I'm glad we talked about Halloween.
But no, it came out great. I mean, it came out great. I'm real happy with that.
Well,
we
talked about Felt Mansion too. So Felt and Halloween. And
oh yeah, it was probably the highlight of my holiday this year.
And then this week we talked about Afterlife. Well, I had to talk about Afterlife because that's the I saw it last night. It was awesome. And then we're gonna talk about Thomas Edison, his inventions, his machine, the man.
He was an inventor. And people are going, "What is ghostly talk? What are you talking about Thomas Edison for?"
Well, is that how they say it?
Hopefully.
That's how I hear it in my head when I read people's IO.
Yeah, exactly. But Thomas Edison was very, very, he was really into the paranormal.
Well, a lot of folks of that era, because we talked last week about Houdini. Who has an obvious Detroit connection in the fact that they...
He died here.
Yeah, he passed away on Halloween here in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
you know, way, way, way long ago, 1926 or something.
27.
Anyway,
my head already.
It was Halloween way back then. And,
we just regurgitate this stuff, and then we just completely forget about it.
And then we drop it
off. Move on to the next week.
I might call it up, as a little-known fact at a party, you know, you're sitting there at a cocktail party, and you're like, Houdini died here in 1926, and you just, if you say it with such authority, you know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you're just close, it's good enough.
What was I just telling you a couple minutes before we went on the air? I was at this party on Friday night, partying down, and I'm with all the punk rock kids, and we're all hanging out, and we're like, what's up? And we're listening to all this heavy music and stuff.
Oh,
and they're like, dude, so somebody put the Misfits on. You know, obviously, if you're in any of the harder music or the old punk, the Misfits, the band, the Sam Hain was a spawn of the Misfits.
Yes.
And it was like, Sam Hain was, man, I love Sam Hain. And we're talking about Sam Hain, and I love him too. And, all of a sudden, I'm like, you guys realize that, you don't really pronounce it Sam Hain, it's actually pronounced Samhain. And they're like,
what? Hard punks.
Oh, yeah, you're doing that ghostly talk show. Yeah. So you think you know everything now, huh, buddy? No, I just thought you might like to know about it. So, this is exactly what you're talking about, too. Hey, let's throw a few facts out here at a party and
people
go, who's a geek?
Yeah.
All right, Thomas Edison, though.
Thomas Edison. Well, he's got a Detroit connection as well,
mm-hmm.
which is really nice. I know people in, England who listen to the show and our Hawaii folks. All these people from all over the world listen to the show. But we keep trying to bring it back to Detroit. I mean, not back to Detroit, because we are the paranormal community is obviously worldwide.
Worldwide, yes.
But the fact is, we do the show from near Detroit, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to do bring some local stuff to it.
Mm-hmm.
Just to let you know, if a place is as, basically boring as Detroit is, has some interesting stuff.
There, yeah. Believe it or not.
Got to have something interesting.
There's always a ghost chilling somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Detroit, really, there isn't much going on here much anymore. I mean, for you people in Europe and stuff that listen to us...
Yeah, we're jealous.
I mean, we really are, because, you go to Europe, you can do anything you want.
You have a blast and all that history. And,
oh, God,
And all the, the Travel Channel.
Yeah, and I am starting up a PayPal account for my Egypt trip, too, so I'm...
You're going to accept donations?
I'm going to accept donations for my Egypt trip. So, guys, I'm just making this announcement right now. I'll be putting the URL out real soon, and I am putting a PayPal account up for my Egypt trip, so please...
I was actually breezing through a magazine.
Uh-huh.
And they actually have the ancient Mayan civilizations in South America.
South America, yeah.
They have, you can go on a cruise, and one of the day trips when they dock is mm-hmm. to go to some of the ancient Mayan pyramids
uh-huh.
and stuff like that. And that's got to be cheaper than
Egypt. Yeah, but it isn't the Great Pyramid, though.
Well,
that's what I'm talking about. I have to go to the Great Pyramid. That's the biggest, baddest thing on this planet.
You can't look at an ancient Mayan one and say, that's a great pyramid.
Oh, it's cool. No, that's a really great pyramid you got there. They're equally as cool, but the Great Pyramid is just... We'll do the whole show on that. I don't want to do that again to people. They're going to be like, shut up! Fucking stupid pyramids!
We are going to do an upcoming show. It's going to be about curses of pyramids.
Listener suggested Travis.
Yes, but, okay.
Thomas Edison.
There's a Detroit connection, which is what we started saying, 5 minutes ago? Talk about a disorganized show. Here we are. We got it. Hey. We just took the award.
Yeah, but this is the fun show. These are the best ones that always come out.
We're going to have the Detroit Connection is... He actually worked at the Mount Clemens train station,
mm-hmm.
right up here.
Mm-hmm.
He worked there for years.
He dropped out of school to work there.
Mm-hmm. And we, it's like a 3-minute drive,
mm-hmm.
a 5-minute drive from our house,
mm-hmm.
or from my house.
Yeah.
From your house, it's a lot longer, but not a lot.
You
just shoot straight up, crash it, right?
Yep, that's about
it. Yeah, so it's, he was here. He lived, breathed, and worked. So local to the Haunted Basement Studios, it's ridiculous.
I can feel his presence here right now.
Well, he evidently came back at some not here to the Haunted Basement Studios, but in a seance.
He
came back twice.
Twice, 10 years after his death.
So evidently, he must dig us. Us living people, I mean.
Well, Thomas, if you're around.
We've got recorders going.
Yeah, we got this thing going right now. Feel free to just breeze in here and just make an appearance.
Yeah, EVP away, because we're...
It's going to be great, Thomas. This is Thomas Edison. I love ghostly talk.
I don't think I will listen to the archive of this just in case there is an EVP. I'll be like, ah!
So, okay, how about we just lay some facts down here?
Okay.
We'll lay some facts down here for you people to bite down on.
All right.
And this is going to be... I mean, we're not going to talk about... Thomas Edison was born in 19... we're not going to talk about... We're going to talk about what he did for the paranormal community, or what he tried to do, at least.
Right.
Okay. I'm just going to read this straight up, like I usually do. You're the better paraphraser.
Well, you do it, because I'm going to run away for 1 minute.
Okay.
I'll be right back. I'll be right back. Uno momento, por favor.
Okay. So it's just us now. It's just me and you guys.
Don't ruin the show.
It's Scott L. and you guys. All right. So here we go. Edison was a genius ahead of his time. Well, no kidding, right? He invented the light bulb, phonograph, typewriter, electric motor. We've been through all that already. Like I said before, he had over 1,093 other patented inventions, okay? One of the inventions that he worked on at the end of his career was a secret project, a machine that would let the living see and communicate with the souls of the dead. Edison believed that the soul was made up of what he referred to as life units. We talked about this before, briefly.
Yes, that's why we
wanted to talk about this a little more in depth this week. These microscopic particles, or life units, could rearrange into any form. They retained full memory, personality, and were indestructible. Edison's machine would detect these life units in the environment and allow a living individual to communicate with the dead. He put many years of hard work into this new creation, but sadly, he died before it was finished. Some called Edison crazy.
Did they now?
Oh, I messed the pages up.
Oh, no.
I messed up the pages.
Well, I think we pretty much get the
some
point.
Call him a nut. Some call him a nut job, basically, okay?
That's
the top of it.
At that point in time... though there was a huge thing, the Fox sisters and all that kind of stuff,
uh-huh.
and there was a huge thing about spiritualism, and Houdini was running around trying to trying to debunk the spiritualism, and although I think deep down he really wanted to believe,
yeah,
and evidently Edison was into it too. There were a lot of people really into it.
Oh, yeah. Isn't
Arthur Conan Doyle?
He dabbled in it. I know that for a fact.
But I mean, there was so many big names. I mean, recognizable names that you learn about in elementary school and stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I went to Thomas A. Edison Elementary School. How's that for a real deep connection here? So if we get EVP tonight, it's mine.
Okay. Here's some more for you to bite down on, though, too. Thomas Edison believed that somewhere in the universe was a great intelligence, but he doubted that it had any interest in the human being, man, which is very nice to hear. But he claimed that when a person died, the body decayed, but the intelligence that it possessed lived on. He thought that the so-called spirit world was simply a limbo where disembodied intelligence waited to move on. Which is very, very interesting. It's good ghostly talk theory kind of stuff.
Well, that actually coincides with pretty much what I think. The only thing is that an interesting thing is there's cultural differences too in that I was reading on the Jewish frequently asked questions kind of thing, they think that an intelligence, the, you know, whatever it is that's in you that makes up your person, okay, upon death splinters into like a different intelligences, but all the same, which is like a fascinating concept.
It's
to me.
It's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, don't try and wrap your brain around it, because I tried. It hurts.
Yeah, it really hurts. That's going to kill the show. Right.
This limbo land, that kind of thing, misty, spiritual world.
I've heard that. I mean, if you really want to get more into, like, I guess the fridge theory of it, I've heard that the limbo land that Thomas Edison refers to is the actual, and this is what I've actually heard, too, that, you know, we're talking about heaven and hell stuff here, too, okay? Actually, I read this from a Kurt Cobain article.
Oh, wow.
No kidding.
Doesn't this crop up everywhere?
Yeah. So, because somebody, supposedly, this was a number of years ago, I read an article that some type of psychic contacted Kurt Cobain. And what they said was that Kurt said he was in an area like a limbo land. He was not in heaven, he was not in hell, because of the sole fact that he committed suicide. And what happened was he was in a limbo land learning what he did wrong and what he could do to do it better the next time around, if you believe in reincarnation. So he basically was being taught, hey, look, you don't kill yourself. Not a smart thing to do. And then maybe he went to heaven. I don't know how it all works as far as what we talked about reincarnation also in the past.
Well, whether that was, you know, that could have, although, unfortunately, that could have been propaganda as well. Since, after all, Kurt Cobain was, you know, the lead singer of some popular band?
Nirvana.
Oh, yeah, Nirvana.
Come on, man. I didn't like him that much either, but I acknowledge it, what band he played in.
So, smells like Teen Spirit?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay, all right. Anyway, so Kurt Cobain was, you know, obviously a huge, 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 like, hit, and kids everywhere, you know, teenagers and stuff just, like, knew who he was, instantly recognized him, and then when somebody that popular, that, you know, big, goes and does something like that, they, you know, I imagine the presses start working, or the machine starts working to try and, you know, suppress the urge in people who looked up to him as a hero, you know, as a media giant hero kind of thing, to, you know, make them think, no, it wasn't cool what he did. Because it wasn't.
I thought it was pretty sick, personally.
I don't know why anyone would do that.
Well, you mean, to each his own, I guess. I mean, I'd like nothing better than to be worshipped by every little teeny bopper on the planet, but I don't know if it's going to happen today or tomorrow. But, I mean, that's what I read up on Kurt Cobain. And that makes a lot of sense to me. Everything makes sense to me because my mind's wide open, so everything I hear, I'm like, okay, yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah, that could be.
That could work.
I think the same thing.
But Thomas Edison said there's a limbo world, though. Where souls go,
and we can,
or soar energies.
And his theory was we could communicate with them through a machine.
A machine. Now, this particular machine, I'll just read straight from this. This will probably make it the best it can possibly be.
Oh, sure. Throw copyright out the window. Just read.
Edison reportedly continued working on the machine until his death in October of 1931. At that precise moment of his death, all the clocks in his house and in his workshop reportedly stopped working.
I had heard that. And I heard that, I think, in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, now, what's really interesting about that, there are people out there who do affect timepieces. For example, I used to work in a big downtown office.
Yeah.
You know, downtown, and they had those huge, like, industrial clocks that, you know, they can set from some control room and stuff like that. And these are huge industrial, like, clocks, and they hang from the ceiling. And sometimes you can even hear the machinery humming in them because they're just, like, industrial. These things are, like, intense, right? I mean, expensive and intense.
Uh-huh.
She'd stop them, my friend.
How?
My friend would stop them.
How?
Some goofball, you know, okay, don't get me started on office politics, okay? But
oh, don't get me started on office politics.
But
I'm the king of office politics.
Some goofball, you know, these people with their merit pay and stuff like that, decide, okay, we're going to rearrange things. We're going to move people around because if you get too familiar with where you are and who your neighbors are in your neighboring cubicles.
And God forbid you might get comfortable and enjoy your work.
Yeah, if that happens, then you'll be less productive even though you're not, even though it's the opposite.
Yeah,
you know,
it usually
is. If you can come in, you're in familiar surroundings. You
and
know,
you're looking
you
forward
can just,
to
like, zoom through your work and and you know, but no, they want to keep things all stirred up. They decided to move everyone around. They put her right under one of these big clocks that hang from the ceiling.
Oh.
She stopped it within a couple days.
But how?
It's something about her. She can't. She tried wearing watches. She's tried everything. She just cannot be around a clock. It just stops.
Any clock.
Any
big,
clock.
Small.
Doesn't matter.
Now we're talking just big. We're just talking regular
digital
clocks.
As well.
The one sitting over here
digital as well.
Digital as well?
Any timepiece, it would just stop. I personally have a problem with light bulbs.
Light bulbs?
I had to replace that light bulb again.
Well, Thomas Edison and
all three of those are new within the past, in that like tri-light lamp thing over in the other corner of the Hodden Basement Studios. All three of those light bulbs have been
now,
new within
has
the
this,
past
has this happened, like, recently?
It always happens.
Oh, it always happens. Because I know these last couple weeks have been kind of trying on
them. That's true.
Something, you know, I mean, I get so mad I can watch a light bulb explode in front of me. I mean, that would be a pure, true sign of stress.
I've done it. Well, I haven't exploded them, but I do cause them to quit working. And then that light upstairs, that, you know, when we got the family room redone, we got a new light for between the kitchen and the family room. This is a fluorescent light, you know, a dual bulb fluorescent light.
Is
gone. I have problems with light bulbs. And that was, 2 months ago we got those fluorescent lights? Fluorescent lights are supposed to last for, like, ever, right? Well, for years. A couple months. I have bad luck with light bulbs. This one lady has bad luck with timepieces.
I wonder.
I don't know.
I would really like to.
But I don't. I rarely affect street lights.
Those are pretty powerful.
Yeah, but there are people who do. But I don't.
It really would be something to think about. Was it something from her childhood possibly that she may have some type of animosity toward? I mean, I have an animosity toward clocks because they tell me when it's time to go to work. They tell me when it's time to be here. I don't want to be. You know, they wake me up.
Oh, I gotta go.
Yeah, I mean, time can be a real irritating thing sometimes.
I don't think it's an animosity. Now it's just a pain in the neck for her because she can't wear a timepiece. She can't. She just has a problem with it.
I want to give her my cell phone. My cell phone has a clock on it. I wonder if she could stop that, because that's not a clock.
It's a timepiece.
Yeah,
I wonder if something that's integrated into a computer kind of thing.
We got to hook up with her.
She doesn't.
Talk to her?
She doesn't. I haven't talked to her in, 6 years.
I think you still got her number?
I have her email.
Let's bring her in. We should bring her in. Seriously.
What if she stops our computers while we're broadcasting?
But that'd be so cool. I mean,
yeah.
I really we got to check that out. Coming at
all
you.
Right.
More on-air executive decision-making and ghostly talk here.
I will try.
Yeah,
she has a problem with timepieces, and evidently Edison did too.
Yeah.
He didn't invent the clock, though, did he?
No.
No.
But he was afraid of the dark, though. So he invented the light bulb.
Oh, I love the dark.
Which is, I mean,
I'm the opposite.
Which you wish you that smart. Where I don't like this, so I'm going to invent this to, counteract that. I mean, that's a true genius right there. That's somebody who sees a problem. Well, maybe in their own personal life.
And they solved
the problem.
Whether it's the benefit of others.
Fortunately, it was to the benefit of millions of people. I mean, we don't live without lights now.
Right.
I mean, I could not picture the few times when the power goes out and you have to get the candles out.
Oh, man.
How primitive does that feel? How stupid do you feel? You're walking around this huge house with all this electronic stuff going in. None of it works.
None of it's working.
None of it works, period. And another thing that's cool about Thomas Edison, too, another quick fact, was after he died, a couple days later, we were talking about this.
Yeah.
The whole nation dimmed their lights.
Which is awesome.
As a memoriam to him, or, yeah.
Yeah, a memorial.
Memorial to Thomas Edison.
That is totally cool. Because that kind of thing doesn't happen. I mean, now they have candlelight vigils and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. That's a nice memorial, but to dim all of your lights or turn them off or dim them, at the time it was probably on or off. So they probably just turned them all off. That would have had to have been.
Yeah, I guess It's amazing. In here somewhere. I'm sure they probably just turned them off.
Yeah.
Yeah, back then it was either on or off.
There's I don't think they would have had the dimmer switch.
Moving on, though. After Thomas Edison's death, the plans for the apparatus we're referring to, this ghost machine, this machine that can see us, that supposedly Thomas Edison wanted to see dead people, spirits, they could not find any of the plans for this. They were never located. Many searched extensively for the components, but even the prototype or even the plans of the machine were never found. But there is another story to this, though. In 1941, 10 years after Edison's death, the great inventor reportedly made contact at a seance that was held in New York. The spirit reportedly said that the plans for the machine were with three of his assistants. According to this story, the machine was finally built, but it didn't work. Darn.
I know.
Okay. Edison, he did come through at another seance, though, and suggested a few changes to the device. One of the members of the seance circle was J. Gilbert Wright, the inventor of Silly Putty.
Yes.
Or Putty.
Silly Putty. Silly Putty.
I like Silly Putty better, but Putty, you can use it for anything.
Yeah.
You can put it on your nose, you can put it in the bathtub, anything you want.
And I often do.
Yeah, I do. It's on my nose right now, actually. He claimed to have made the changes and then contacted the spirit of the inventor Charles Steinmetz, who suggested further improvements. Okay?
Yeah.
Wright reportedly continued to work on this machine until his death in 1959, when the apparatus completely vanished, and they haven't seen anything since then.
Huh.
So, I mean, now, let's take the story into... Let's just look at the story right now. Thomas Edison's working on a machine. He dies, it disappears. Let's contact him. Supposedly they contact him from the other side. He says, okay, it's with three of my people. And they work on it, and it vanishes again. Something, I mean, okay, this isn't a show about conspiracy theory.
But it's beginning to sound like the energy theory things, yeah, or the energy machines where, you know, Tesla and all those folks working on energy, they would, you know, make these wonderful things that supposedly did these wonderful things with energy. And then... they would always just disappear.
But, yeah. Well,
and a lot of the people who do this kind of work disappear as well. That's
Tesla did.
Yeah.
We talked about Tesla. I remember we bored Will half to death. Will wasn't here tonight, by the way.
Yeah,
well, I remember that one night we all went out ghost hunting. Me, you were just like rambling on and on about Tesla and all the wild things he could do. He did, especially with me, because I'm a bass player, so I'm very interested in like low sound.
Yeah.
He did the most amazing things with just low sounds. Bass tones and stuff. Just, you know, I don't want to get into too many specifics, but we talked about it that night and drove Will up a wall.
Yeah.
But yeah, same thing. This machine just vanishes. They can't find anything. And like I said, I don't want to get into too much of the conspiracy theory of this, but think about this machine though.
That you could like pick up a microphone or pick up a teletype. I don't know how it works.
And go, Grandma, where you at? Oh, hey, how you doing? What's up? Oh, how you doing over there? Okay, cool. I mean...
Wouldn't that be awesome?
It would be a completely different world right now.
Yeah.
I mean, this would be a different...
We'd be living in different times.
Because there's no celebrity on this planet. There's no political leader on this planet. There's nobody on this planet that would have anything on a spirit that you could actually talk to.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I mean...
If you're talking to somebody from the other side, now, is that interesting or what? Which really brings up my...
That's an interesting fact.
Well, first of all, I want to say...
Sorry to kill the conspiracy theory portion of our show.
Let's put that into maybe later.
We're going to put this
because I want to talk about this.
That's a very...
Mr. Olaf...
Yeah, one of our listeners.
...tells us... Well, he's also extremely important in the paranormal community. He's hosting the Paranormal Magazine by Lone Feather and those folks. So if you go to www.paranormalmagazine.mrolaf.com.
Ah, yes.
So
I have to breeze through that real quick one day.
Paranormalmagazine.mrolaf.com.
Uh-huh.
Paranormal Magazine. Yeah. You just spell it all out.
And isn't that a cool name, too?
Paranormal
Magazine. Mr. Olaf.
Mr. Olaf. I know.
I mean, he just sounds like a badass. But he's part of my French, but...
Radio or TV personality.
I'm Mr. Olaf.
He pops on and he goes, okay, the cell phone towers are what keep those.
And they do. I mean, I didn't think about that. They do. I mean, that's like whenever you're and people out there who know who have cell phones, which is like everybody. You know when your phone dies.
Yeah.
Like, okay, it must be out of range somewhere. I'm not in a tower. That's something to think about.
So I don't know
what I said.
Like maybe my friend who stops clocks could use a cell phone and have time. You know, have the time all the time.
She very well may now if you haven't talked to her.
Because the actual time piece or whatever. I mean, there's a little time piece in there, but it's always kept in sync by the tower.
Well, that's what I was saying concerning you and light bulbs and her and clocks. Okay, sure. You said she knocked down a few of these, these big industrial clocks.
And the one, and watches, everything.
Is there a certain sense of degree, like how far you can take it? Like you were saying, well, yeah, I don't get along with light bulbs very well, and they just blow up around me all the time. But a big old street light that's powered by so many gigawatts or whatever, I mean, you wouldn't be able to knock that down.
There's a lot more energy, but I'm sure there's people out there.
It's something to think about. Like, you know, how could you shut down? I mean, we've heard about people who, like, you know, can literally set things on fire. They can combust things with their mind. They can turn, and we're telekinesis. I mean, that's basically what we're talking about. We've talked about poltergeist in the past and things that just manifest these things that spark them and they are the catalyst for this.
Mm-hmm.
I would really like to talk about that. I'm really intrigued by that now.
I think we have to do a whole show or two.
on
that.
I'm just alone.
So, sorry about that, you know, going off to the side like that.
But that's an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah. The time pieces nowadays sometimes are actually remote from people.
Yeah.
So. All right. We're talking about, this machine.
This particular, yeah.
And how it disappears. And the conspiracy behind that. Well, yeah, there's a lot of that conspiracy kind of stuff that happens. The latest news is obviously the conspiracy around the Mars.
Yeah,
they talk about that. Yeah, and I mean, there's just, like, all these conspiracies always going on. But I, to a certain extent, I think that there's probably some kind of conspiracies going
I used to always think, it's nothing happened. But the more I see this stuff, the more things I see and the more things I learn, something's going on. Because like we said, think about the magnitude of a machine like this, of the effect it would have on
people. Do you think AT&T would just love it?
Oh, God, yes.
I mean, they would be
I mean, you talk about long-distance rates.
Jeez. Yeah, oh, man. You know,
We'd be paying through the nose for something like this.
$1,000 a minute or whatever. One of these guys.
And that's what would happen, too. What would happen. Industry would take over. I mean, we have a good thing here to help people. Genuinely help people. I mean, think about all the people out there who have their loved ones have just disappeared,
mm-hmm.
and they've never seen them again. What? Maybe they're dead, maybe they're not, but if they are dead, you could find out, possibly.
That's true. Theoretically speaking. That's true.
You could find out. Hey,
you
what happened
what
to you?
Happened. Yeah.
I fell down the Grand Canyon, man. It's crazy. I was just leaning over, and I was, you know, I told you I was taking a walk that day, and
that was it.
That was it, you know, sorry.
But now I'm here, I'm safe, I'm happy.
Yeah.
And imagine the relief that would give someone. The relief, the closure, yeah.
The closure, exactly. But, of course, AT&T would take over and go, oh, yeah, you talk to your dead uncle, yeah. No problem, it'll cost you $50 a minute, but hey, why not?
Hey.
And you know, that's what would happen, too.
Calling cards at 7-Eleven and stuff, yeah.
It's exactly what would happen, though, too. You'd have your spiritual calling card.
Oh, man.
Sitting on the impulse rack at the 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
That's exactly what would happen. But just on a mental level, though, what it could do for people. Whether or not it costs that much money. Okay, it costs that much money. My God, my speech is going to complete. I just said costed.
I'm going to have to replay that.
You're going to have to replay
that. We're going to cut that. We have to make a best of Ghostly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's stupidest line. Regardless of the price, though. I mean, even if you could do it, if it came through and it worked.
Well, I mean, for the average person, too.
Yeah.
Because, like, right now, I'm thinking that there probably are people who do talk to deceased ones.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, mediums. And I think that they do it because my own theory is that they don't have filters in place in their brains or minds.
And we've discussed that.
And they've got this information coming at them through, you know, normal and paranormal channels,
mm-hmm.
and they're not filtering out the paranormal like I usually but
that,
am.
You know, and, that, and that's very interesting, and I mean, I happen to, you know, support that myself. But
well, one of the theories...
That's always left to speculation by people, though.
Since we're talking about this, okay, there's been a lot of talk. I've been talking with all kinds of people, Mr. Olaf Lonefeather, several folks, about images in windows and TV screens, stuff like that. Well, one of the theories that I've run across, or it seems to be, because I don't think I've actually had it spelled out, but I'm sure there's a website out there that spells it out. But what happens is, one of the theories of why do cameras pick up ghosts? Why do you take a picture and you look at it later and there's either an apparition or a vortex or an orb or a figure in a window or a figure in a TV screen, you know, there's something there that you didn't see when you were taking the picture.
Yeah.
You know, and you had no concept it was there until you get the prints back or, you know, download it to the computer and print it or whatever. And you're looking at this picture, you're like, oh my gosh, that's really scary. There's a ghost there. And why? Why would a camera pick it up but you can't? And I think it's because the camera, just like, you know, mediums, don't have this filtering going on of the information that they're seeing. Because the camera is, you know, has no brain or no, you know, it's not filtering any of the information.
It's a simple machine.
Yeah, so it's looking at the scene that you want to take a picture of, taking the information that it sees, however it sees it, putting it, you know, onto a storage medium, either film or digitizing it and storing it or whatever it has to do with it. But it's not like thinking about it and blocking out information that it doesn't think is necessary. Because when you're driving is a complex maneuver. And you have to keep track of, like, how many things. And a lot of that stuff just goes on automatic.
After a while, yeah.
Yeah, how fast you're going, you know, how close you are to the turn, if the light's going to turn or not. There's all these things, plus the radio's blaring and the people behind you are honking.
When you're in my car.
40. Yeah, and the sirens, you know, behind you because you don't have your seatbelt on.
Well, that's Saturday night right there.
Yeah, and so like, you know, you have all this information coming at you, and you couldn't devote time to every single bit of information that's coming at you while you're driving the car and successfully drive the car. So what happens is, same thing in real life or in walking, waking life, all this information coming at you, you just, a lot of it's on automatic and your mind just like filters it out or deals with it in its own way. A camera doesn't do that. A camera just takes the picture.
Mm-hmm.
It's not filtering anything. So that's one of the theories is why cameras catch ghosts and stuff like that on film or digital. And so, same thing with this, what were we talking about now?
The machine, man.
The machine. Same thing with this kind of machine.
Yeah.
It doesn't have this filter. So if it can pick up these paranormal wavelengths or whatever they are.
Well, life units.
Life units.
Yeah.
And process them and put them into the realm that we can physically see or hear. Why not? That's my question.
Yeah.
Why not?
And I mean,
if it's there, if it works, I mean, if there is this kind of thing, why not?
And if this machine ever really manifested itself to the world, I guarantee you this. Because, I mean, simplicity, I learned this from a friend of mine a long time ago. There is a fine line between simplicity and genius. There really is. There's also a fine line between laziness and genius, too. That creates simplicity, okay?
Well, do you know what one of, okay, this is totally off topic, but one of my absolutely favorite machines, it's got to be the telephone. Thank you, Alexander Graham Bell, or that French guy. Because
my French guy, you know.
I don't remember his name, but there's
the phone
at the mine. There's controversy as to who invented the telephone, but you know, okay, so the telephone. I don't know whether I'm actually complimenting though the guy who invented the phone, but what I really compliment is whoever invented like that the dial, but not the circular one because I don't like those, but the touch tone pad, the keypad. I really really like that and appreciate it a lot because it's like 12 keys, and look what you can do with. You only usually use like 10 of them, right?
Yeah.
And because the pound and the star key, those are hardly ever used, really. So unless you're on some, you know,
unless you're on my phone,
yeah, then you're always using them.
Yeah.
But a normal phone, you've got 12 keys, 10 of them are usually used. How simple can that be? That's like totally
and
simple
and the
ultra powerful.
The combinations. Look how many phone numbers are out there. Fax, modem, cell phone, house phone. What else can we think
of? Yeah, and you can pick up the phone, and you can dial your 7, 10, or 11 digits
in
the right order, and you're instantly connected to somebody or something. And I think it's, or their voicemail. But I think it's totally...
Usually their voicemail.
Yeah, I think it's totally awesome. It's ultra powerful. But yeah, okay, that has nothing to do with anything, but I just thought I'd mention it.
Another point, Mr. Olaf.
Oh, yes.
He just sounds bad to me, dude.
I know you really like
Olaf.
Yeah. You should see there's a picture of him on the Wild.
I saw it. That's why I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah, well,
don't hurt me, Mr. Olaf.
But yeah, he's right about this. The cameras pick up a wider range of light than the human eye. And again, because some have that filters, like the IR filters in the Sonys. You know, when you put the Sony on night shot, it takes the IR filter out, and that's how you can see through people's clothes. If you use it on. Well, these are the old Sony cameras. They don't do it now. But what happens is in order for a camera to do the what it does, they can install or uninstall these camera the filters, the lens filters.
Uh-huh.
And if you've got a wide open camera, it's just whatever it sees, and it does it does see
pick
different
up
wavelengths than the human
anomalous things like. We call them anomalous.
Yeah, and that's what you're always looking for. These artifacts.
I took a picture. I took a picture of my mother, and what is that?
That doesn't sound anomalous. It sounds normal.
No, I'm saying. I just took a. I always cite this, and I wish I had somewhere to put them up at on the web again, because those pictures I took at Adair Cemetery.
Oh yeah.
Some of the most creepy looking, amazing. I'll never forget this as long as I live, because that was probably a true paranormal experience right there. I took these pictures, and half of our people in the back, you can see the people in the picture like doing some goofy thing with themselves. They're just having fun, but I get the pictures back, and this is back before I had digital. I get the pictures back, and I'm like, what is this doing here? I mean, these are thick clouds.
Yeah.
And they weren't there when I was shooting the picture. Why would I shoot a picture through a cloud? I mean, I'm not stupid. I mean, I know I sound stupid sometimes, but I mean,
but that was not there when you took it.
Yeah,
same thing with these.
And that was on 35 millimeter too.
Yeah,
and I haven't got anything like that in digital. I'm not going to argue that. Right
we got. Do you have that in a computer file? Because
yeah.
We should put it up.
I have. Them. I have all files put away. Yeah. I mean, I'll bring it all.
Well, when I get back from Atlanta, I'm going to call you up. We're gonna put them up.
Yeah. Because I mean, those pictures, I'm not saying because I took them. It's not a matter of who took them really. Because if I saw these things. And you shot him, I'd be like, dude.
What is that?
But I was there shooting these pictures when it happened.
Well, that's a lot different with ghost hunting. Because when you're ghost hunting and you take these kinds of photos and you get them yourself, there's something about them that when you're surfing the internet and you see other people's ghost hunting pictures and you're like, yeah. I mean, there's some kind of connection when it's your photo.
Oh,
it's just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
But just so that you know, anybody can get them. I mean, it really happens.
Oh, yeah. But going back to the point I was trying to make 10 minutes ago, which
is
all right. Okay, well, that's what the show is all about. We can come back. We can do anything we want. Simplicity. And genius run hand in hand. I think that this machine... Did you hear that, people? I just threw the paper down. Damn it! No.
Now I've got editing to do.
Sorry.
And I have to go away.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. No, I think if this machine ever does manifest itself someday... Which I certainly hope it does.
It'll change everybody's viewpoint.
Obviously, that's going to do it. But I think the machine itself is going to be probably the most simple thing ever put together. I really think that. I think that's why I'm saying there is such a fine line between simplicity and genius. Because the best inventions are always the most simple things. They're easy they're easy to work with. And they do a wonderful thing for you.
Yeah.
What can we think of off
paperclip.
Paperclip, my
stapler.
God!
I mean, amazing.
There is nothing you could disassemble and assemble a stapler in the average of like 2 minutes and put it back together. And it'll still work the same. It isn't like taking apart like a 484 motor or 454 whatever, a big old Ford V8 or whatever you want to call it. I don't know about motors, but disassembling something like that, that's a big job. That's about a couple weeks' work right there. And if you're not a trained mechanic, putting it back together, who knows if it's going to start working again? You're always yelling, hey, we don't need this bolt.
Who needs a carburetor?
Who needs a carburetor?
You know? Whenever I take something apart, that's what happens.
Yeah.
I have all these extra
A stapler. Simple piece of machinery that does one thing and one thing only, and that's all you need.
Paperclip, same thing. Pair of scissors. It's two pieces of, like, plastic, sometimes metal, and it just cuts paper.
Well, the world's turned into nothing but one big multitask, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you go to a gas station, you can get your oil changed, your car washed, you can go to the bathroom, you can get something to drink, get cigarettes, you can make a phone call, you can get gas, of course, God forbid, you know, and, I mean, you can go to Subway in there, you can get some lunch, you know, I mean, you can spend a whole day at a gas station.
I
mean,
my cell phone,
for example, I can make phone calls. Okay, I can see the time. I can see the time. I have a calendar. I have a calculator on here. I have an alarm clock on here. I don't know half the things this thing does. Good invention, but I don't know how it works. I don't know how it works.
There's still a whole bunch of people, sometimes myself included, who can't even program a VCR.
Yeah.
And
you can, like, run scripts all day long.
I can write up a Perl script.
People, Doug Sennett is like... I've never met somebody work like this guy. I mean, I'm giving you props, by the way, too. I mean, I've never seen
somebody,
a programming scientist as himself. He's an artist with the script. I've never seen somebody just, bloop, bloop, bloop. There we go. What'd you just put in there? Oh, you know, I just told it to do this. I was just talking to it. You know, he knows a language that not too many of us know. Anyways, though.
But, trying to program a VCR is I'm VCR challenged.
Okay.
And in order to tape something, I really physically have to be there for the start in order to push. Because I can indeed push the record and play buttons at the same time, and I can get it going that way. But if I program, the chances are about 1 in 4 that it will actually tape what I wanted it to tape.
Yeah.
So I there's only like 3 settings. It's like time, start time, end time, and channel.
In the day.
But it never works.
But AM or PM? There's a few other factors.
Well, that's
might be the AM and PM that's throwing you off.
But it just never works, and it says, okay, now you have to turn your VCR off in order for it to work. Okay, so you turn it off, the little timer thing is lit.
Uh-huh.
It should work, but I come back, and it didn't work. I don't understand these things.
But the point is, though, is that I really think that, and I believe that. Just look around your house, and I guarantee you, some of your most favorite things that you use every day are the simplest things. They really are. And I think if this machine ever does...
It's like my car. Yeah, no, wait, that's not very simple.
Yeah, no kidding.
But they have it, you know, down pat. You just have a steering wheel and 2 pedals.
Yeah.
But...
Well, everybody loves their car.
Yeah.
It's an evil necessity, so...
Well, here in the Detroit area.
Yeah. But, honestly, if this machine ever does manifest itself someday, somebody figures it out. This was Thomas Edison's plan. This was the blueprint. This is what was supposed to happen.
And that would change our lives.
Yeah. But it's going to be the stupidest thing. We're all going to look at each other and go...
Well, look at the light bulb. It's a filament.
What do you do when you see some new little thing on the market? Like, you see it at the shopping mart. You see this little thing sitting there, for example, like... what can I think of? I don't want to use Listerine breast strips.
Oh, I love those.
Oh, I'm addicted to those things.
Yeah.
Well,
that is simple.
It's very simple, yeah. But, I mean, something that can really... I mean, yeah, fresh breath is important.
Well, it's important for... Yeah,
you have Mentos, you have Altoids, you have all these things. There's all kinds of things that are the exact equivalent, basically.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking of things like just... Oh, God,
You're blanking.
I'm blanking hard here.
Well, while you're blanking, I want to do a shout-out.
Go ahead.
Okay, dudes, because it's, like, almost over, this show. Yeah, less than a minute.
Hey, all right.
However, I do want to do a shout-out to our folks at Disinfo Radio, because they're playing some of the Ghostly Talk archives.
Oh, yeah, they picked us up.
Yeah, disinforadio.com. Disinforadio.com. I have to give a shout out to them. Also, there's a new radio thing that we talked to them. We're not on them yet. We're going to keep talking to them, though, because it looks like a really, really good thing to do.
Uh-huh.
Torn. Torn Radio, I think. It stands for The Online Radio Network.
Mm-hmm.
TornRadio.com.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might have a dash in it, though. I'd have to mm-hmm. you know, really look it up. But if you do a search for the Online Radio Network, you might find it.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking with them, but no matter whether or not Ghostly Talk is picked up by them, they're doing some pretty cool stuff. They have like that wrestling show and stuff
yeah.
like that. So it's like more diverse than
yeah, which we're blown away right now.
Yeah.
Because like we have people like and honestly, it's coming out of the woodwork now where people are going, hey, can I do this? Hey, can I do that? Hey, we want to pick you up and put your archives up. Hey, we want to put your archives up too. And we're going, why?
I know. Every single time I get an email, I think it's amazing that people
we haven't been slammed yet.
Well, first, we're
going to get killed. But
but also, I'm amazed that people actually listen to us. But I think it's fantastic.
Oh, it is. And I mean, we're real happy. Thank you all.
Yeah, because
we don't get a chance to really say, like, wow, you guys, you know, this is like the highlight of my week.
It is.
This is my Sunday nights come along. It's like,
well, do you know, there's another thing about this, and we're going to go over because I have to say this.
Yeah,
okay, this
absolutely.
Is nothing to do with Thomas Edison, nothing to do with anything, but it's all to do about Ghostly Talk. I think of like 8 billion things during the week that I want to say on the show, and then I never say it. I just never.
And that's why we come back every single week.
I just always
one
forget.
By one we get them on the air.
Yeah, when you sit down at the microphone, you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to do all these wonderful things on the show, and then you forget all about them. But yeah, I do appreciate that folks actually listen. I think it's amazing.
Now, Mr. Olaf, let's just throw this out too, because Mr. Olaf, he just put a lot of work into this, and I don't want to leave this untouched concerning the telephone you were talking about a minute ago. And I'm going to quote right from Mr. Olaf here on Yahoo Messenger. About phones, just like the first phone, everything still works on copper lines. Although a lot smaller copper switches, etc. nowadays, so there is a physical connection between two land-based phones. Also, the touch tone phone actually do function based on tones. If you hold a phone up to your computer speaker and play the exact tones on your computer, it will dial the number.
That's true. As a matter of fact, that was the...
Something fun to do.
What?
It'd be something fun to do.
Well,
to
you know, I hate to...
Thanks, Mr. Olaf.
They've actually stopped this. They stopped it from happening now.
Uh-huh.
But before, you could go to a payphone, and if you had recorded the tones that it made when you, like, deposited a quarter or deposited a nickel or deposited a dime, if you recorded it and put it, you know, on some kind of... playback unit. You could
put it
play
in the
that.
Receiver.
Yeah, you could play that to the telephone, and it would make it like it deposited a quarter and stuff like that.
Why couldn't I have learned that like about 7 years ago?
I think that's
I've been ganking
freaking.
Them all. I've been ganking them all, man. They've been over.
Yeah, I think that's called freaking. Phreak, something like that.
Really?
Yeah, it's messing with the phone system is like an actual hobby, just like ghost hunting.
I would do it.
So that's true. You can actually dial a number with just just by playing the tones into the telephone.
All right, you non-cell phone people. There's great. We're gonna be like AT&T.
Cell
is phones email
are
us
infinitely more complex, though. So
AT&T will be emailing us this week, though.
I know. We'll hear from their lawyers.
We heard about this little thing you were talking about last.
Yeah.
Sunday.
Well, it's no secret.
It is. It's almost 5 after 8, though. One thing I think we would want you to take away from this show, though, and I've already mentioned it. I'm going to mention it again. The simplicity. That's what I really was thinking a lot about when I was reading about this machine. Because nobody knows. Nobody knows what the design, except for a few people, and they're probably dead.
Yeah.
But
it's
got to
be
it.
A simple machine that...
Everybody that's listening, everybody listens to the archives, take away from this, walk away from this show and go, how could it work? Now, Thomas Edison was a genius, so he knew a lot more than a lot of us do. I mean, he could see things differently.
Right. He had an imagination that didn't stop.
Yeah, but if everybody...
And the willpower to make it happen, yeah.
But if everybody, all of us, kind of got together on the Ghostly Talk message board, hint, hint, and talked about this and threw our ideas into a melting pot and try to devise a way to figure this out, maybe. It's one of the many projects we're going to have going on.
Well, one fellow on the Ghostly Talk message board did make some kind of gizmo and then ended up not trying it out in his house anyway. So I haven't heard anything else on that.
Yeah.
But he made a gizmo and he was going to try it, but he didn't want to try it in his house in case there was something there. But I haven't heard any more on that.
Yeah, but we talk about it every week, though. Ghostly Talk is about thinking. It's about thinking about these things. Now, of course, we have fun with this every week. Progressively, every week seems to be just getting crazier and crazier, which, hey, we're having fun with that. But the thinking's still there. And that's what we always like to focus on is like, okay, we have this little problem here or this little question. Let's like really dive into it and think about this in a deep manner. And this is what we do after these shows all week long when we're sitting at work or doing whatever, is we think about these things. And, you know, that's why we follow up on stuff like this. Like, for example, Thomas Edison, we mentioned him like a couple months ago. We mentioned him in a show.
Right.
And we said, you know what? We really should think about this more. Because this would be something to talk about.
Yeah. So instead of thinking about it, we just studied it.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. But we did think about it, too.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. We usually do leave these shows, and we end up following up on this stuff after a while and going,
yeah.
Remember when we talked about that? Hey, here's an idea. Just, you know, just in conversation. This is
we do stuff. Do that, yeah.
We do that a lot. We just go, you know what? We talked about that, but here's another thing. You know, I didn't mention this, or I didn't think about it when we were broadcasting, but couldn't this happen? Or, you know, whatever. So that's what you guys, I hope that's what everybody does. That, you know, this is what we want to give, that we want people to take from the show is like, geez, could it be a simple instrument or could it be a very complex instrument or could it be, you know, this type of instrument?
What would
I think it could be a very simple thing.
Probably.
Simple, stupid thing. That, like, the point I was making earlier is that, you know, these particular things we see at the shopping mart or Aco or Walmart or whatever and go, God, that is the most simple thing I could ever see. How come I didn't think about that?
Oh, I've thought that a billion times, yeah.
And that's exactly what's going to happen if this particular instrument ever manifests itself. I know it. In my heart, I know it. That people are going to go, that's it? That's all it takes to communicate with the dead?
And we've been, you know, incommunicado with them for thousands of years, and suddenly, yeah.
But there's no speculation now, though.
Right.
There's no speculation. We're talking to someone. They're in front of us. This machine, Edison wanted to not only talk to them, hear them audibly, but see them also.
Oh, really? It was TV with the dead.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
So there's no speculation here anymore. This isn't seances and psychics and telekinesis where there's theories upon theories that battle that every day.
Yeah.
This is something that we could actually see and go, I think you're wrong. He's standing right over there.
Well, that would stop my hobby then.
No, it wouldn't. I'd be like, it'd be like sitting on the internet for me.
Oh, okay.
That's what it would turn into. Comcast would get a hold of it. That'd be the end of it.
Give the afterlife an IP address.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, we really do have to close the show.
Yeah.
I want to mention one more thing.
Yeah.
GhostZoo.com. Don at GhostZoo.com. She wants everyone to look at the Pink Castle stuff because she's having more problems with the Pink Castle people. So just wanted to shout that out. And what do you think? The Pink Castle people got in touch with her and sent her a nasty letter 2 years ago saying, pull down the location of the Pink Castle, or else we're going to sue. So she did. Now they're on her again.
I read about that a couple months ago, actually. Yeah. I've been so busy this week, I haven't had a chance to really like sit down and like read every single thing on the message board, unfortunately.
But talk about controversy. I mean,
no.
It's like, why? Now they're at her again.
Okay, well, here's the thing with that. They're contacting her saying, please pull down the location. I hope they're saying please.
No, they did that 2 years ago. She pulled it down. She complied with their wishes, which, you know, she didn't have to do,
no,
if you ask me, but she did.
No.
She respected them enough to comply with their wishes.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're dissing her, you know, basically.
Well.
And they're like, you know.
Well, you know the internet.
Yeah,
you diss anybody, you know.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, as far as that issue goes, I support Dawn. I've always supported Dawn.
Yeah.
And I'm always going to back her up. Because, I mean, what she's done with GhostZoo.com, I mean, the problems that I see, and we've been through this firsthand with the whole Savage House incident.
Yeah, that's true.
We decided to disclose that with a former member, and a lot of problems popped up.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of malicious destruction of the property. Now, mind you, it's a rundown, beat-up house that was going to be leveled anyways, but still.
Yeah, it was mindless.
I don't need this. I don't really care if Jenny loves John.
Yeah.
I really don't care if you want to spray paint that on a wall. I mean, good for you. I hope you get married, but, you know.
But it's pointless destruction of property.
It is.
Not yours.
And that
do that on your own wall,
yeah.
Jenny.
Yeah, yeah, and that really upset us because, I mean, we kind of claimed responsibility for that in a manner of speaking because it's like, well, we're the ones that said.
You know, well, we took it upon ourselves to, you know, learn from that experience and say, okay, yeah. No more.
Yeah. But, I mean, as far as the whole Pink Castle incident goes, I mean, I'm going to back up Dawn on that. But unless people were, you know, honestly,
no,
destroying.
They can't. They've got dogs. They've got security. They've got all kinds of stuff. The house is watched like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know where it is.
Yeah.
But evidently,
yeah, I mean, if it's heavily guarded, I don't see what a problem would be with that.
I don't either.
You can't stop somebody from driving by a house.
No.
You can't do that. I'm sorry. It's not gonna. And if that's what they're trying to do, that's crap. That shouldn't happen. So. You know, that's my two cents on it.
I don't even know where it is, so don't write and ask me where it is. I really don't
yeah.
know. But
yeah, we should really close up.
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah, we're like 11 minutes over. So.
I'll be in Atlanta this week,
yeah.
And next week I'll be able to talk about it. And
yeah.
Other than that, I don't think we have a topic for next week, so we're not going to tell you what it is because
no.
We don't know.
We always run by we just run on the edge of our seats now.
Why
on the
not?
Show. It always keeps it interesting though for
so.
Us. But yeah. Seriously, though, think about this machine, though. I really want people to think about this. Go on the message board, post it up, email us. You know, I don't want to give them, I'm not giving my phone number out. I'm not doing that. But, you know, email us. Send
Ghostly
anything.
Talk at ghostlytalk.com.
Yeah, and go to the message board. Check it out. So on that note, we're going to get out of here. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Don.
And this was Ghostly Talk.